I have the pleasure of speaking now with Víkingur Ólafsson, who is truly one of the great pianists of your generation. And, you know, thanks to you for spending a little time. We're going to talk about this new album called From Afar. It's a really interesting kind of glimpse into your personal life through music. You know, you're known for making connections between composers and repertoire and your playing of that music, but this album kind of takes it a step further. Can you tell us about the concept of the album?
Absolutely. You know, with every album I do, I sort of don't want to repeat myself. So you know, I started with Philip Glass for Deutsche Grammophon, and then Johann Sebastian Bach, and then there was the Debussy Rameau, and now Mozart and contemporaries. And then I really was thinking, what should I do next? What comes next? Is it Chopin? Is it Brahms? Is it Schumann? What is it? I then had a life-changing encounter with someone amazing in September of last year, Györgyi Kustak, the fantastic Hungarian composer, who at the age of 96 is still writing amazing music for the world in Budapest. And Mr. Kustak invited me to meet him, connected to a concert I was playing in Budapest with my Mozart recital program. And it was supposed to be 10 minutes, and I had no idea what he wanted. I just knew that he wanted to meet and that it was going to be filmed for a documentary that's being made about him. And so I came, and I revere Györgyi Kustak. I think of him like Robert Schumann or Béla Bartók, one of the greats in history, really. And I was quite shy. I'm usually not shy. I meet a lot of wonderful people and famous people and amazingly established people. But with Kustak, I was somewhat shy. And I didn't know what to expect. They just asked me, his team, to bring, you know, anything I wanted to play, any music for him. There'll be grand pianos there. And then we had not 10 minutes, but something like 2 or 3 hours. And I just played anything I wanted. And we talked about music and about life and about his late wife, Marta, and that they had been following my work for some time. Apparently with appreciation, thankfully. These are some of the most difficult years in the business. So this was all much nicer than I had sort of expected or in a way feared. And we just had this beautiful musical communion. And when I got home, I was going to write him a thank you letter, and I couldn't find the right words, but I had all these musical ideas connecting to his music and other people's music. And I wanted to sort of send him that letter in the form of an album in the end, which would be, in a way, both my musical DNA and some of the pieces and composers that have been dearest and closest to me in my musical upbringing.
Yeah.
And then also to record his music in connection with that and connect those soundscapes. Mm-hmm. And I think they connect very beautifully, Kustak with Schumann, Kustak with Mozart, with Bach, with Brahms. Those are all composers that I think have been very close to him, and as it happens with me as well. Béla Bartók, of course, his fellow Hungarian countrymen, but I also thought I'd include some songs, folk songs and art song from Iceland as well. It's a little specialty there.
It's wonderful. And the thing that strikes me most about this album are the transitions from one piece to the next. You touched on it lightly when you talked about, you know, Bach and Schumann and Brahms and other composers, but you have them melding in and out of music by contemporary composers and by Kustak in such a ear-grabbing way. I mean, how much effort went into deciding the order of these pieces and the pieces themselves?
Well, first I selected the Kustak pieces that I wanted to record, and then I found how they could connect to some of those composers and pieces from my childhood. So something like one of my favorites in the album is called Sleepily by Kustak. So someone falling asleep or is sleepily. It's an amazing piece with these tone clusters, very soft dynamic tone clusters, and these yawning glissandos. You know, glissandos to sort of, in a way, musically depict yawning. It's an unbelievable effect. And I thought, what if I connect this with Schumann's Träumerei? So that was very interesting. And I took, again, one of Kustak's pieces, bird pieces called Twittering, which is actually a forehand piece I play with my wife, Hadla, and where I'm the forest and she's playing the chirping birds, twittering birds on top. And I connected that with Schumann's Vogel als Prophet, or bird as a prophet, you know, and so that's what's sort of how it went, that I took Icelandic folk songs and connected that with Bartok folk songs. I went with tonality very much, you know, like the first Kurtak piece on the album's gorgeous piece called Harmonica, where he's really depicting harmonica, like a wind blowing through a harmonica or a child playing with harmonica, blowing through it. And he does it so well on the piano. And that is then connected in tonality to the preceding piece, you know, a Bach sonata in C major. It's all like that, but I have perfect pitch and I always think in terms of tonality, and I love the color of different tonalities, you know. And I also have something called synesthesia, where you associate color, specific color with pitch. People are very different with that, but my way is that, you know, it's color with pitch. So I always think very much in terms of keys. But more than that, and with previous albums as well, I'm always competing against the way people actually listen to music, which is to just pick one or two pieces and put them into their own playlists. I'm always trying to compete against those playlists with my albums, because my ultimate goal is to have people listening from track one to track 22 in this case, so that the album almost becomes its own composition, like a collage artwork or something like that. You know, like, I'm not pretending to compose, you know, the music is by other people, but the way it's presented is it becomes a structure of its own. And of course, people are very free to choose only one or two or whatever many tracks they want into their playlist and connect it with other music that they love. But this is kind of like my most ambitious playlist. It's something that I spent months on forming. And with this album, like with anything else, I played through all of Kurtak that I could find on the solo piano. And I looked through, you know, so much music. It's like last time with Mozart, I played through every single piece of Mozart for keyboard, literally, in the process of recording, just to know all of it and know what spoke to me and what would fit with other things. I played through all the Haydn sonatas just to include one on the album. You know, that's the last album. So that's
just a lot of sonatas. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying I played them particularly well, but I sight-read them at home just to get a feeling for exactly what they are. And then, of course, you spend much more time to master something. You know, it's a different story. But that's how I do it. I really go through insane amount of repertoire in order to select something like 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 minutes of music.
Yeah. What kind of listener are you? You've talked about people listening to your music. When you listen to others, what are you listening for?
These days, I listen mostly to symphonies, and I listen mostly on planes. I fly so much for my concerts, and I love to listen to the big symphonies. I've been crazy about Mahler 7 recently, and Mahler 6, and Sibelius. That's been my year. I've listened to Sibelius 5, 6, 7, those symphonies, 1, 2, 4. I'm not so crazy about number 3, but I've listened to them so much that I know them basically by heart, but that's what I listen for. I listen very much like that. I take a limited repertoire and I listen to it incessantly. I mean, so much. And I try to go so deeply into it that I feel like I've approached the DNA of those works. Yeah. Sibelius Sixth Symphony, for instance, maybe my favorite symphony now from the 20th century, a piece I didn't know a year ago, you know, but it's just an unbelievable thing, particularly in the recording of Herbert Blomstedt and the San Francisco Symphony. That's just such a gift to the world, that whole cycle, actually. But that's how I listen. But I listen very focused and very often to the same things when I get interested in it. And of course, you can skim the surface and just listen through. I try to listen to what's being released by the major companies. I try to sort of stay on top, but not too often am I impressed with it. But then you have the whole catalog to go back to, and there's still so much that I have to listen to. Yeah. But I try to listen, you know, like I try to play music. I try to understand it from a compositional perspective, and that takes time. You know, you don't get that on first listen or second listen, and you don't get that on the first week of study or the second week of study. That comes only with time, and you can't boycott that time.
Yeah. Now, you've recorded this album on two different pianos, one of them a Steinway, one of them an upright. Can you talk about why you did that and what the difference is between the two?
Yeah, there are two reasons. I mean, three reasons. First reason, I love both. I mean, I love the sounds of both instruments. Second reason is that I was inspired by Kurtak, you know, the album's dedicatee. He actually, long before Hollywood did that, he had his recordings in the last, I think, 20 or 30 years done on that kind of an upright piano with that very soft felt setup where you have felt that comes between the string and the hammer. So the music really becomes dreamlike. But thirdly, connecting to my childhood again, I grew up in a house or an apartment where there was a grand piano in the living room and then the upright piano in my bedroom. And those were equally important to me. So that was why I decided to record this repertoire in those two versions. Also just to experiment. I mean, Kurtek is a composer of experimentation always, and games, that's what he calls his piano pieces. That's the name of the cycle, games, játékok, in Hungarian. Games, and I thought that would be a very interesting thing to do, to play in the studio. And I hadn't decided before a recording that I would actually release those upright sessions. It was just something for fun, but I wanted to see how far I could take something like that—a recording on an upright piano. How could I be the kind of idealist that I am in the recording studio with that kind of a setup? And what would happen? And with the world's best piano technician, or one of the world's best. And that then became something that I thought was actually worth exploring. And I loved the results in the end, to the point that I couldn't decide which one to release, this or that. I mean, the grand piano is certainly my instrument and what I will be recording on in the future. But this is a wonderful, for me, addition to that world. And the interesting thing is that it's not really the same interpretation on just on two instruments. I mean, you play differently on, your interpretation is different. It becomes different. It has to become different on a grand piano, where you have these much wider vibrations and much bigger sustain of the sound than on the upright piano, where the sound diminishes much faster and you almost have no sustain, you know, and the vibrations are much smaller and the soundboard is tiny in comparison, and everything is more fragile. But that is the nature of recording. You have to open up to fragility, I think.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I'm curious, you know, the album is dedicated to Jurgi Kurtak. And who turned you on to his music? How did you discover Kurtak in the first place?
Well, I'm lucky. My father is an architect composer, so both. And he actually did a radio program about Kurtak and his music for Icelandic radio back in the 1990s. He's kind of a Renaissance man. Beautiful radio show about Kurtak. And that's, you know, and then I started to listen to the music, and he gave me some of the CDs. I don't think I got them really, but something started to grow in me, you know. And so I know I've been living with that music for quite a few years, because I'm sadly not a teenager anymore.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm 38 now, and I've had some time with it, and that's I think what turned me on to him. Yeah. My father, it's nice. As with so many other things, he also brought Ligeti to my attention, brought so many things, Boulez, and I mean, Endless, and earlier, much earlier, Debussy, and those things that I then thought was modern music, but are, of course, just romantic or impressionistic.
Yeah. I notice on your videos and your albums and the pictures, there's the wonderful Icelandic landscape, you know, walking through volcanic fields and walking along the beach. How much of that aesthetic has become a part of you musically? I mean, are you painting something when you're performing as well?
I think it's inevitable. If you come from that weird, crazy island that is Iceland, where you have 350,000 people, which is exactly, or about exactly 1,000 Americans per one Icelander, that's how small the population is. 1,000 times smaller than America, United States, that is. And then you have this country that still has the geographical size close to being England, you know, where, of course, you have many millions living. So Iceland is a big place for few people, and you have a lot of space, and you have this immediate access to space and silence, and this feeling of being alone with the cosmos, of alone in the universe. And I think that is a part of me. It is, and of us who come from this island. But I think how exactly it goes into your playing is another thing you can't say. Just like you can't say, how did your mother influence you? I mean, there's no way of saying it, but it's there. It's definitely there. It's a part of us. There's also the other thing with Iceland. I mean, it's the most beautiful place, you know, imaginable, but it's also a difficult place. You never know what the weather is going to be like. You don't go there for the weather. You go there in a way, you know, for the opposite of the weather. You go there for the unpredictability and the instability, and the fact that the country is still very much forming with all these earthquakes and volcanoes and all the things that go on here. And maybe that's part of who I am as well in music, that kind of instability. I like to think of it like that, but I hope I won't melt like the glaciers are melting right now.
Well, it's good for us that instability that you talk about, because it keeps stimulating the mind. I love listening to this album. I love the peacefulness, the sort of connections that you make that we talked about, but it really gets going with the Bach trio, which I guess is also an arrangement by Kurtak that you perform with your wife, yeah?
Yeah, and he just published it finally, and he actually dedicated it to me, which is
Oh,
the
wow.
greatest honor. I mean, it's unbelievably perfect transcription, amazing. And my wife, Hadla, who's a fantastic pianist, she's actually done some recordings with me before, like not on my main albums, but before on Deutsche Grammophon, some Stravinsky miniatures. She actually loves to say that she lent me a hand for this recording because she only plays with one hand.
Ah.
So the Bach Trio Sonata is actually a three-hand piece on one keyboard. Fantastic arrangement. But on the other one, the Twittering by Kurtak, she actually lends me both hands. So there we have a full four hands. But it's a beautiful thing to have her play with me, and I wouldn't have anyone else. She plays so fantastically, in my opinion. And I think it's a nice thing as well, because Mr. Kurtak, Jurgi Kurtak, always used to play forehand piano with his late wife Marta, and we had that conversation about her, and I was playing actually on her piano for him in Budapest on that afternoon. It was very touching. So it's also an homage to you know, the greatest music couple of Hungary in recent times, to have my wife play, you know, and to continue that husband and wife tradition of playing forehands.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, I invite listeners to go to your website. I'll link to all of that, because there's so much to explore with this album that we haven't even touched on. But I do want to thank you for your time today. Pianist Víkingur Ólafsson, whose new album From Afar is coming out on Deutsche Grammophon Records on October 7th. And again, Víkingur, thank you so much for talking to us about it today.
Thank you, Brad. It's been a real pleasure for me. Thank you so much for your time.